Welcome to Waterbrook Church, located in Victoria, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us today as we're excited to welcome Don Brewster from Agape International Ministries. He's going to share today about how God's work is bringing freedom to the precious lives in Cambodia. Please pray for Don as he brings the message of heartache, hope, and courage. Let's worship together.
Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you into worship this morning, and I'm sure we'll get the stragglers making their way in as our usual practice on Sunday morning. For those of you who weren't aware that the Trafficking Justice Conference has been going on this weekend, just the Lord has really done a lot of good things in connecting folks and giving people opportunity to hear from some of the ministries in the area as well as in Cambodia. We have Don and Bridget Brewster here this morning, and you are going to be heartbroken and encouraged. And that's really how I've described the last few days for many of us. On one hand, your heart just breaks. And so this morning, your heart is going to be broken a bit as Don shares with you stories of what God is doing. But I want to say that while your heart aches over what's happening, simultaneously, your heart is going to leap with what God is also doing in the midst of that brokenness, and you're going to be encouraged. So I'm glad that you're here. If you're visiting because of the Trafficking Justice Conference, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Pray that you will be blessed. Also, a second kind of little announcement I need to give you this morning is this, that when there's videos playing this morning during Don's talk, you can't take pictures of it or you can't video the video. And the reason why is that you'll see pictures of some of the girls who have come out of sex trafficking in Cambodia. And there'll be several of their faces and stories right there, and we just can't video or put that out there. So I just need to give that to you as an upfront little warning or just a common sense piece of advice. So I hope that that's helpful to all of us. I want to begin by pointing you to the Lord, as I always do, and just to remind you how committed the Lord is at all times to reaching out to those who are broken. So we will hear today of some of the stories of people who have been broken and rescued, who have been trafficked and then delivered. And what I want you to hear in all of this is the heart of the Lord. And I want you to pray that God's kingdom would come. We're going to sing that in a second, and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But would you let the word come into your heart? Because even people, especially people who are involved in these kinds of ministries, they need the constant infusion of God's love and grace. But that's not unusual, because we all need that. So I suspect this morning that some of you are just sitting here, and if you were to look at the gas gauge on your soul, it would be very near empty. And if that's the case, I just want you to know that there is abundant grace for you today, that the Lord knows each of you, and he is not unaffected by one single element of your life, but he's deeply tuned in. He delights to show mercy, and he would love you to seek his face today. So listen to the scriptures. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Isn't that good news? Some of you just need to know that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. You're not standing alone. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing, pray that God's kingdom would come. Again, let me say welcome to all of you this morning, and especially those of you who have joined us for the Trafficking Justice Conference this weekend. And our prayer really is that the Lord will produce a lot of fruit, a lot of good gifts through the folks that are serving. I want to thank the teams that have come in to make sure that you know where you can plug in to help out with this cause. And there are just a lot of ministries close by, from fighting pornography to local trafficking issues, for making people aware, for being engaged, to being involved globally with AIM and other ministries. And Keith here, who heads up Trafficking Justice, has a resource back there. And if you're asking the question when you leave today, what can I do? And I hope you're asking that question when you walk out. There, he has a sheet there that will give you a whole list of opportunities from where you can start right where you're at to where you can be involved. And so make sure you talk to Keith and others. Keith, thank you for your work, and thank you for this weekend and for your leadership, because it's been superb. Keith connected with Amy. Amy, as you know, has really been engaged in the trafficking issue out here, this end of the cities, and out in Waconia. And so Amy came and spoke to me about the conference coming up and whether or not we could partner and would partner in that. And so we're thankful that when Don's name came up, we had some background already and connection with them through Marianne and I. We have dear friends who have been praying for them for years and been connected with their ministry in Cambodia. So my eyes lit up and said, yes, if that ever happened. So that's been a gift to us. And we're really praying for what's going on here in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, in the area. I'm going to ask Amy just to come real quick and invite you for the last bit for tonight. And make sure you talk to Amy, anybody in this end of the cities, because she's got some good ministry and good involvement with what's going on out here.
And after Keith is gone today, too, if you have questions about how to get involved locally, I'm happy to connect you with Trafficking Justice and what we're doing in Waconia, or this end of Carver County, too. So Trafficking Justice Freedom Weekend is not done after this morning. There are some film screenings around the cities. There's one at Spoils Aware in St. Paul. And then if you go to the traffickingjustice.com website, the others are listed throughout the cities. But there is one out here, too, in Waconia. We're hosting one at Trinity Lutheran Church at 7 o'clock tonight. So I hope that you'll all come, because you're not going to have enough of Don. This morning I said, if you haven't had enough of Don, come see him in the movie tonight. But you're not going to get enough of him. So come see the movie tonight. He and some other ministries will be highlighted in Nefarious, which is the film that we'll be screening at 7 o'clock at Trinity tonight. So please bring your friends and come. Thanks.
I'm going to ask Keith to come, and you can introduce yourself for a second, just so people can plug in with you. And then also, thank you for coordinating Don coming, and thank you, brother and sister, and Stephanie. I'll run back there. Thanks for your ministry to us this morning.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kevin. thank you all for coming. Thank you for the invitation for Don and Bridget to come and share this morning. I am the executive director of Trafficking Justice, and our team's goal is to connect people in churches that have heard about this issue to many different ways that they practically can do something. And so you can stop by our table in the back and find out more about that later. But I'm so excited to be able to introduce Don and Bridget this morning. I first saw Don and Bridget's ministry in Nefarious many years ago, and I was crying as he was telling his stories, what God is doing over there. I was so impressed with their heart for Jesus and bringing Jesus to that area. Don and Bridget started Agape International Missions in 2005. They had visited that part of Cambodia, had seen what was happening to young girls, and God got a hold of their heart, and they decided they're going to sell their home, they're going to move there, and so they live in Cambodia now, full time, reaching out to these young girls. And, their ministry AIM protects and impacts over 12,000 Cambodians every year, from the areas of rescue to restoration to reintegration, and also in the area of prevention. Don will tell you more about his ministry later. I wanted to share a little bit about a little bit more about Don's experience. Prior to going to Cambodia, he was the executive pastor at Adventure Christian Church in California for 7 years. In addition, he has 20 years of corporate experience as a vice president of marketing sales. I asked Don, have you ever been to the Twin Cities before? He says, oh yeah, in my corporate experience, I came here all the time. And I don't think he still likes the cold here. But he told me this is the first time I have not worn shorts for several days in a long time. He received a Master's of Divinity degree from Liberty University and a Bachelor of Science from William Jessup University. Both Don and Bridget have such a heart for Jesus and for people. You'll hear that this morning. I've been so impressed as I've been driving him around and getting to know both of them better. Just the depth of their faith and their dedication, and they're willing to really sacrifice what they do. They have 12 grandchildren. Imagine being over Cambodia and your grandchildren aren't there. I mean, that's a huge sacrifice. But without further ado, I just want to ask you to please welcome Don Brewster.
Well, thank you and good morning. Bridget and I are excited to be here. And we are thrilled that your church is willing to hear about this. You know, there's so many churches that aren't willing. And so we're blessed and encouraged by you already. And we want to tell you a little bit about our ministry, but really what we want to do is spend some time studying God's Word. So well, let's get the little bit about our ministry out of the way. And so as Keith said, we work in four different areas, which we believe are crucial if you're going to defeat the sex trafficking or human trafficking, and that's prevention, rescuing girls, then restoring them, and then being able to reintegrate them as healthy, productive young women, really more than survivors, that so many of them become modern-day abolitionists themselves. And to give you an idea of the programs that we have a video that kind of highlights the different things that we do in Cambodia. Now, there's a lot of smiling faces there, right? And actually, those represent what you saw, 14 programs. Again, and each one of the programs does at least one of the four. It either prevents, rescues, restores, or reintegrates. But to do that, but for that to get done, takes courage. See, the smiling faces are a result of people being courageous. And we are blessed with a Cambodian staff of almost 500 that every day are being courageous to allow the smiles to come to faces that were once those being abused on a daily basis. And that's what we really want to talk about this morning is courage. Right, and we're going to take a look at it from a biblical standpoint. But before we do that, let's take a minute to pray and ask God to bless our time. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we're so grateful for your love for us. Lord, we are grateful that we live in a country where we can freely come to worship you. Lord, and how amazing, how truly astounding it is that you, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, desires to be with us. Not only that, you promise us you are here this morning with us as two or three are gathered in your name. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask that during this time you would teach us. We ask that we would learn more than just intellectually, but that your Holy Spirit would take your word and penetrate our very hearts. That as a result of our time here together this morning, each one of us might become a little more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Okay, so courage, we can begin by saying, what is courage? And according to Webster, courage is the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And that's really a perfect description of what our staff does. First of all, they venture. They go. And they go to actually one of the worst places in the world, which is Swaipak. And one of the things about Swaipak that's different than any place in the world is that pedophiles come from everywhere to purchase little girls. And they moved into this really, really behind the gates of hell, right? Where they're in a continual spiritual battle and they persevered, right? And perseverance is very important because changing a community, overcoming evil, is more than education, it's more than economic development, it's more than laws. And we work at all those things. We even have our own SWAT team. But none of those things have ever defeated evil, have they? If they defeated evil, we wouldn't have any here in this country. But the truth is, it's only the love of Christ that defeats evil. And the transformation of hearts is a one-at-a-time process. So this staff of ours has to persevere for the long term if there's going to be complete victory. And they withstand danger on a daily basis. Sometimes it's physical, but mostly it's spiritual and emotional, as they have to deal with very tough issues day in and day out. And the same will be true for us, frankly, if we decide to stand with the oppressed and fight injustice. And actually for us as followers of Christ, it's not actually an option, is it? It's a command. We have a call that's different than the command, and our calls will all be different. God may call us to get involved on the front lines. He might involve us to be prayer partners. He might involve us to be awareness builders. We don't know. I don't know for each one of us what the call is. I know mine. But as followers of Christ, that's part of our responsibility to determine how we will obey that command by getting a clear call from God from our involvement. And courage is critical. The Bible makes it clear what the purpose of courage is, and we see that expressed in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 11 through 13. And in this passage, David is speaking to his son Solomon before handing over the kingship of Israel. And there it says, "Now my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and the laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." You see, courage, the purpose of biblical courage is obedience, that we might be obedient to the commands and the call of God. And if we were to do a study of the entire Bible, if we were going to go from Genesis to Revelation, we would see there's 18 times in the Bible that we're actually commanded to be courageous. Every single one of them deals with obedience. Now, when we take a step of courage, we're going to run into some obstacles and actually some benefits from doing that. And a great source of seeing it from a biblical perspective is David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. I'm pretty sure most of us know the story of David and Goliath, so we won't read the whole chapter, but we'll highlight some things. And the first thing is about the fight itself. Now, let's imagine that David and Goliath were fighting in Las Vegas, right? Because if they were fighting in Las Vegas, we would have to get odds on the fight. And so the odds makers determine those odds based on facts. And so if we take a look at the biblical facts about David and Goliath, we see this. Goliath's experience was as a warrior. David's a shepherd. When it came to size, Goliath, the experts say, would have been somewhere between 9 and 12 feet tall. David, under 6 feet tall, about half the size of Goliath. Assistance or help. Goliath had a shield bearer. David had no human help. And when it came to weapons, Goliath came with a bronze helmet, bronze body armor weighing 125 pounds, bronze leg guards, a bronze javelin, a spear with a 15-pound point, and a shield. David had 5 stones and a slingshot. He was not a favorite in that fight. The facts were clear that David wouldn't win a battle like that. And the truth is, if we're going to be courageous, there will be times when we have to ignore the facts. Right? And we experienced that in Cambodia. You see a picture up there of hundreds of police officers. Those are Cambodian police officers. And what they're doing, you may think they're lining up for a parade or maybe they're going to go into some kind of meeting. They're actually outside the home of the leaders of organized crime in Cambodia. And they're lined up there because every year in April they get a bonus or a bribe in order to be corrupt. And this is how obvious it is. That's in the Phnom Penh Post, the local newspaper. They're not even afraid of it. It's actually an article talking about the police being so corrupt, they line up in front of the gang leader's house. Now, our SWAT team has 12 members. They have to ignore the fact they're outmanned by hundreds. But when they have done that, the success has been remarkable. Where before no one was being rescued, in 2 years they've rescued almost 400 girls. They have arrested and imprisoned 189 bad guys. But it took ignoring the facts, because the facts said they weren't going to be successful. But there's other things, too, about. There's another obstacle we see in the story of David and Goliath. And if we look at chapter 17, verse 28, we see David's brothers talking to him before he goes into battle. And it says, "Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." See, what we see clearly there is sometimes in acting courageous, we'll have to go against the wills or without the support of our family. Right? And this young woman is a perfect example of that. Her name is Polly. She was trafficked by her mother, and when she got free, she became part of our program. Right? And so she started attending church. She knew who Christ was. As a matter of fact, she became a strong believer in Jesus Christ. She became part of our worship team. She works in our employment center making bracelets like this. She became a leader in that department. And eventually she married the drummer of our worship team, and they have a beautiful little baby. Now, that's all with standing up without the support of her family, for choosing to follow Christ in spite of the grief, the pain she suffered on a family level. And if the story ended there, it'd be pretty good, right? I mean, look at her life. But this is what happened because she was courageous and she persevered. Her mother started coming to church. And now when her mother started coming to church, she heard every week about how trafficking is a bad thing. And she had two other daughters she had trafficked. And she brought both of those daughters home. Both of those daughters started attending church. They became Christians. They're employed in our employment center making bracelets. And they're solid followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the mother is still a pre-believer. We know God's going to get her, right? But she's still attending church every Sunday. All because Polly was courageous. And she stood up without the support of her family. But there's also good things that happen, right, when we're courageous. That God uses it in a positive way, and we see that in the story of David and Goliath as well. In verses 51 and 52, we read that when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines. You see, David's courage inspired Israel, and they defeated the Philistines. The young woman you see up there, she's courageous too. Now, what she's doing doesn't look necessarily courageous, but it's very courageous. She's signing complaints against people who hurt her. Her name is Toha, and this is her story. When she was 12 or 13 years old, her mother sold her virginity. And what that means is that she would had to go stay with a foreign man for 3 days, in which he brutally abused her for 3 days. After 3 days, she came home, and there was great shame. But see, the shame wasn't on the mother who sold her. The shame was Toha's. Because of the culture there is no shame on a parent who does that, but there is great shame on the child who suffers. Now, after a couple weeks longer, that same man came back, and he bought Toha again for a couple of days. Now, when Toha came back, her mother was so ashamed of her, she didn't want her in the village, and she sold her to a brothel about 2 hours away. After 20 days, she called us, and she said, "Please come and save me." And we said, "We'll come in 2 days." Now, why wait 2 days? Well, we waited 2 days because we didn't have a SWAT team at that time. And so the way we would rescue a girl is we would go down to a brothel. We would negotiate to buy the girl. The girl would come out. We'd just throw her in the back of the car. We wouldn't pay, and we'd take off. Now, that was great for that one girl, right? But the brothel didn't get shut down, right? There's just going to be some other girl that's going to take her place. So we wanted to do this in a way that the brothel was shut down. Bad guys were put away. So we took all this intel that we had from Toha and went to an organization that worked with the police, and we said, "We'll give you 2 days to rescue her." So this was on a Tuesday, and we said, "By Thursday at 5 o'clock, if you haven't rescued her, we're going to go down and do our thing." So they went down the next day, Wednesday night. They went down undercover. They had body cameras, and they found not just Toha, but 6 other little girls. And the next morning, Thursday morning, they went to the prosecutor and anti-trafficking police, and they didn't meet in a government office because corruption was so rampant. They met in a hotel room. They showed the evidence, and then the prosecutor okayed a raid to take place that very day. And so this organization called us, and they said, "No worries, in 2 hours we're going to do a raid. We're going to rescue Toha and another 6 girls as well." And we thought, "Wow, great." Only about 20 minutes later, Toha called us, and she said, "I don't know what happened, but my boss just came with the police, and they took all of us girls, and we're in a, I don't know where I am anymore, and I'm locked in a room. Now we can't go find her." Right? Corruption had taken them out of our ability to find her. And so, you know, we're praying about what we're going to do. But during that time, Toha showed tremendous bravery. She's in that room, right, locked with those other girls, and the brothel owner comes in and he goes, "I own you. I own the police, and you're never leaving me." And Toha's response, "I'm not worried about that because AIM is coming to get me." Which would have been okay if we knew where she is, right? But the power of God is seen clearly in the brothel owner's response. For he said, "Well, if they're coming, you can go." He unlocks the door, takes her to a bus station, and puts her on a bus back to Swaipak with us. So we like to say the bad guys are more afraid of Jesus than they are the police, and they should be. So now, that's pretty cool that happened. But now Toha joins our program as well. And she joins that program, and she becomes a strong believer. She actually becomes a youth leader in our church. And she works making bracelets, and she studies every night to become a social worker. As a matter of fact, when we go back to Cambodia in 2 weeks, she is going to get her first assignment as a social worker trainee because of all the work that she's put in to prepare herself. And won't she be great at it, having known what it's exactly like for those girls she'll be working with? But see, that's all great, but it was even more than that. See, when she signed those documents and those complaints, that was a tremendously courageous thing, right? Because now she put her family at risk. The police are corrupt, right? She put herself at risk. But because she was willing to do that, because she was willing to risk her life, to be that courageous, not only did she testify in 3 court cases, in every court case, all the defendants were found guilty in our prison today. 2 brothels were shut down, and dozens of girls were set free because of the courage of a little girl. Now, who of us needs courage? Well, I think it's pretty safe to say we all do. And why I say that is because Jesus needed it. And you're probably familiar of Luke 22, verses 39 to 46. Yes, it is. And where Jesus is on the Mount of Olives praying before he's going to be turned over to the Jewish leaders, before he's going to suffer on the cross for us. And he prays, first of all, he doesn't want to have to do that, right? He asked the Father to take that cup from him, right? And we know that he was suffering with fear because it talks about that he was in such anguish over the idea of being crucified that his tears were like drops of blood. So if Jesus needs courage, certainly we all need courage as well. And if we're going to stand with the oppressed and fight injustice, we need to know, how is courage released in us, right? We need it. We know its purpose. But how is it released in us as individuals and as a church? And I think, it becomes clear in many verses, but one of my favorite is John 13:34, where Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." And the first time I was reading that, I paused there and I thought, well, that's really not a new command, is it? That's Old Testament, to love one another. But if you read the whole passage, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." And Jesus loved us sacrificially. Jesus loved us unconditionally. And that's what he wants of us. And with that love, when we have that kind of love, courage is unleashed in us. And when miracles happen, with that kind of love, miracles happen. And we have a miracle story we're going to show you. And instead of me tell you her story, we'll let Bella tell you her own story. I've seen that video hundreds of times, and I still get a little misty-eyed every time I see it. And, people think it's because she says nice things about me. It's because she was such a pain in the butt for 4 years. I mean, honestly. And as well she should be, right? What she suffered through, right? Day in and day out. And then to come into a place where more people say they love her and they want to take care of her. And what it takes is that persevering love, right? She talks about me saying she was special and then finally believing it. And why did she believe it? It was because she was treated special. She was treated with value. She was given unconditional love. And truthfully, it was Bridget and the house moms that she has mentored and led that transformed Bella's heart, not me. But why does she mention me? And if you look at a lot of our testimonies girls give, a lot of them mention me. Here's why. I'm the first man that treated her like a daughter. And that's the problem, guys. We are the problem, right? Sex trafficking would not exist if it wasn't for us. And, jokingly, I say we could end sex trafficking tomorrow by executing all men, right? Not for that. But we have to man up. We have to man up, guys. We need to show the courage that little girls do. We need to show the courage of a Paulie, the courage of a Toha, the courage of a Bella who today goes into brothels and rescues girls because she was transformed by the love of Christ. right? And pornography is a gigantic problem that's not being addressed. 63% of all Christian men, including pastors, view pornography every month. Every month. And what they don't know is that they help drive sex trafficking. They help what happened to those girls to happen all around the world. And we have to begin to fight against it. We have to have the courage to stand up and talk to one another about issues like this. And while there's, Pastor Kevin has said, there's groups out there that can help us all get involved in different ways, there's a men's group dealing with that issue and how men can begin to stand up and fight against sex trafficking. It's Matu. You can visit them out in the lobby, and I encourage you to do them because there is great urgency. See, Toha was rescued by God after 22 days, and you think, well, that's not bad. Girls are trafficked for years, right? And to be 22 days is pretty good, but in 22 days, Toha was raped by 198 different men. That's how urgent the need is, right? And how urgent it is for us to be courageous, to follow our command, to stand with the oppressed and fight injustice, and it begins and ends with love. Not the Hallmark kind of love, but the difficult kind of love that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. That verse blows me away. If I can understand all of God's word perfectly, if I have so much faith I could do a miracle but do not have love, God says I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word. May God bless you greatly.
Thanks, Sean. Please keep Don and Bridget and Stephanie in prayer. They still have some more ministry to do today yet, and we sure appreciate the incredible privilege that we've had to be with them and to be taught. So you do feel it, don't you? You feel that the heartbreak and the joy. You know, I don't talk about this very often, but my first exposure to sex trafficking was I was a young pastor, and I met with a denominational leader in Canada, a national leader in Canada, who was in charge of refugee programs. And I was meeting with him just one-to-one, having breakfast or coffee or lunch, and I was working through some stuff, and he said to me, you know, you just really need to learn to unwind. And then he literally said these words to me. He said, I know a real good brothel in India. And I'm sitting there thinking, did I just hear what I just heard? This is not a non-Christian, this is a Christian. This was not just a Christian. This is a denominational leader. This was not just a denomination, national denominational leader. He was the head of the refugee program for the denomination I belong. And he was, and you know, I couldn't prove he said it. But that was my first exposure to there was a sick, sad reality. And he ended up, thank God, I prayed. And he was arrested with a young boy in a hotel in Toronto. And that was the end of his career. But you just think, when we think it's not there, it's there. When we think it's not in a place you don't think it is, it's in that place. It's hard to believe. It's the thing. It's hard to get our heads around it. But the good news of the gospel is God goes into all of those places with courage, and he creates courage. And I love Don's approach because people are not by nature courageous, but love in your heart, born by the Spirit, because of what Jesus has rescued you from, gives you eyes to see and births courage. And then the question is, how can I not? Where are you calling me? Where have you placed me? Give me eyes to see. And the beautiful thing is when that begins to spread, you have a whole lot of people loving Christ and loving others. And so that's our prayer. That's our prayer here. That's our prayer in the Twin Cities. That's our prayer for the nations, that God would do that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take an offering for AIM. I just encourage you to give generously. And then I'm going to pray over all of you and pray for God's blessing on the rest of the ministry. So, Father, we thank you for the Brewsters. We thank you for Trafficking Justice. We thank you for the ministries that have happened this weekend. And we thank you, dear God, that there is no pause in your zeal for the least of all peoples. And we thank you, dear God, that there is no flicker in your faithfulness. There is no shadow. There's no hidden darkness in you whatsoever. And so we ask, dear God, consume all our darkness, purify our hearts, birth the love of Christ into us. Cause us, dear God, to see a revival and an awakening and a renewing in our day, such that people will give you glory and praise for what you are doing, what you have done, and that there will be many brokenhearted, liberated worshipers of God from every tribe and every tongue and every people on the face of the earth. We love you. We thank you. We pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. Have a great day today in the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you feel led to give to AIM, go to agapewebsite.org. That's A-G-A-P-E website.org. And if you'd like to find out more about Waterbrook, you can always go to our website at www.wbfellowship.org. Have a blessed week.